ओम सुप्रभातम टू ऑल ऑफ यू। ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। दिस् सहनावतु मन्त्र इस् दि शान्ति पाठः, पीस इन्वोकेशन टु बी चांटेड स्पेसिफिकली बिफोर द स्टडी ऑफ एनीथिंग बिलोंगिंग टू कृष्ण यजुर्वेद। बट फॉर दिस तैत्तिरीय उपनिषद बिलोंगिंग टू कृष्ण यजुर्वेद वी हैव अनदर शांति पाठ आल्सो which will be chanting, which I'll teach later, because this is only an introductory session. Why introduction? We have been doing introduction before we begin any Upanishad, and specifically when we start the Taittiriya Upanishad, definitely we need to remember few important things which we have already understood through the study of other Upanishads, and a few other technical terms which we need to know, we have not yet understood, or we might have understood, we must have forgotten also. Before we begin this Upanishad study, why? Because other Upanishads which you have studied until now, of course, this I taught you, Taittiriya Upanishad was taught by me long, long ago, many, many years ago, for some people. All of you would not have been there in the class. Anyway, the other Upanishads which have been now systematically studying, Mundaka, then Katha, like that, in those Upanishads, we have Adishankar Bhagavatpadacharya's commentary, but in that commentary he does not present many Purvapakshas, which means he does not present himself the doubts, the queries raised by the people of other systems of philosophy. He does not point out the logical fallacies in their thinking, in their views. We simply understood the content of the Upanishad. But here we will be understanding the content of the Upanishad. Simultaneously, we will also be ascertaining, clarifying our doubts also, because Shankara Bhagavatpada presents many Purvapakshas in his commentary. Purvapakshas means the different views of opponents of other schools of thought who do not accept what is being established by Shankara Bhagavatpada. And how he refutes their views and pointing out their logical loopholes, thereby how he enhances and makes our understanding doubt-free. That is something important here. Therefore, this Upanishad is really more intense study than study of any other Upanishads, what we have studied until now. Of course, we will be seeing in Mandukya Upanishad, Chandogya Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, in all these Upanishads, the big Upanishads, Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary really makes us show his vision, appreciate his heart. So here it begins. In Taittiriyam, actually, we take off. Really, we're getting into the much deeper understanding of the Upanishadic teaching here. Okay. And so, in this introduction, let us remember there are four Vedas, and all those four Vedas as one entire Veda Shastram consists of two parts. Why not three parts, you may ask? Yes, karma, upasana, khandas together are taken as one part. The first part of the Veda Shastram, Veda Purva Bhagaha, which is said to be Karma Shastram. The later end portion of the Veda Shastram, the next part, is said to be Moksha Shastram. The two different Shastrams in one entire Shastram. Karma Shastram and Moksha Shastram. We look at the entire Veda as one Shastram because the ultimate aim of the entire Veda Shastram is one: enabling a human being discover his own essential nature, which is nothing but discovery of the essential nature, the very truth, the reality of the entirety of the universe. Discovering this truth is discovery of freedom, which is the ultimate accomplishment for a human being. This ultimate aim being one for the entire Veda Shastram, the entire Veda is looked upon as one Shastram. But still, this one Shastram consists of two different Shastrams because the Karma Shastram has different Anubandha Chatushtayam and Moksha Shastram has different Anubandha Chatushtayam. I need not explain, I think. Chatvaraha Anubandhaha. The four Anubandhaha, four factors involved in are associated with any textbook. Let me remind you, I won't elaborate on this, but still I'll remind you. Vishayaha, the subject matter, the first aspect, the content. Vishayaha, the subject matter, the content of the two Shastrams. The content of the Karma Shastram is different from the content, the subject matter of the Moksha Shastram. Vishayaha Bhinnaha. Karma Moksha Shastrayoho Vishaya Bhedaha. Subject matter differs. Then Adhikari, the eligible person, keeping whom in the mind the subject matter is presented. That Adhikari, one who deserves the teaching, one who is eligible for understanding the teaching, or one who is inclined for the understanding of the subject matter, the Adhikari, also different is different. Karma Shastra Adhikari is different from Moksha Shastra Adhikari. Second aspect of the Anubandha Chatushtayam, Dvitiyaha Anubandha. And the third aspect is Sambandha, the connection. Connection means between the words of the Shastram and the subject matter, there is revealer revealed Sambandha, Pratipadaka Pratipadya Sambandha. So what is revealed by, as I said, the Vishayaha, what is revealed by the words of the Karma Shastram is different from what is revealed by the words of the Moksha Shastra. So Sambandha is a difference in Sambandha. And also, Prayojanam, the benefit. The benefit of the knowledge attained from Karma Shastram or through Karma Shastram is different from the knowledge attained through the Moksha Shastram. So, prayojane api bhedaha. So, the ultimate benefit that can be attained through the knowledge of the Karma Shastram is time bound in nature in terms of artha, kamaha, dharmaha. Artha, kama, dharmaha. Time bound ends, material ends alone are accomplishable through the knowledge attained from Karma Shastra. Whereas moksha, timeless end, is the benefit accomplishable through the jnana, this Moksha Shastra. Timeless end. And it's a spiritual end. So, prayojana bhedaha, sambandha bhedaha, vishya bhedaha, adhikari bhedaha. Because of this difference in the anubandha chatushtayam, we understand that there are two different shastrams. But these two different shastrams together are looked upon as a one Veda shastram, because the ultimate aim of the entire Veda is one and the same. Ekasmin shastre shastradvayam anubandha chatushtaya veda karanataha. Okay. Okay, now this Karma Shastra, otherwise said to be Karma Kanda, the Karma Upasana Kandas together should be taken as Karma Shastram, one Shastram. And we know very well, we have understood already that only activities, karmani, form the main subject matter of this Karma Shastram. The very title tells you Karma Shastram, the Shastram which discusses only the topic of activities, specifically rituals. Anyway, all our activities, all the activities performed by us are Laukika Karmani and Vaidika Karmani. Laukika Karmani are the mundane secular activities and the Vaidika Karmani are sacred religious activities. Karma Shastram prescribes multifarious varieties of many, many rituals. So Karma Shastram presents the subject matter of varieties of rituals, the know-how of rituals. Through these rituals, by performing these rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda, various devatas, the natural phenomena looked upon as devatas, various devatas can be worshipped. The grace can be invoked. So the respective rituals are prescribed to invoke the grace of respective devatas by chanting respective mantras, by following respective methods. Respective results, respective ends also can be accomplished. Anyway, the results or the ends accomplishable, the ends accomplishable as a result of performing these rituals are time-bound ends, material ends in terms of artha kama dharmaha, as I said already. Now, laukika karmani, the mundane secular activities, are performance of one's own duties. One's own duties, various duties in keeping with the varna, ashrama. Let us leave the word varna now because not relevant nowadays. Still, we have certain things, ashrama, and also different roles every individual has to play. Everyone has different duties in keeping with the different roles that one has to play. So all these karmas, Vaidika Karmani, and also Laukika Karmani, Vaidika Karmani, all these karmani, all these actions are associated with what? Definitely every individual's body, mind, sense complex. Therefore, Shastram presents those activities as threefold karmani, trividhani karmani, kayika karma, kayikam karma, vachikam karma, and manasam karma. So in performing kayikam karma, physical body is involved, mind is along with the mind. In no kayikam karma, body alone is involved. When you say kayikam karma, a physical activity, along with the body, mind is also involved. Attention of the mind also must be there in any action. So we have vachikam karma, which involves the organ of speech. But there also, mind is also involved. So vachikam karma involves organ of speech and mind. Kayikam karma involves body and mind. Whereas manasam karma involves only the mind. No body and speech are involved in manasam karma. Threefold karma. In laukikam karma and in vaidikam karma, these three are involved. Body, mind, and speech. Karmani trividhani. Kayikani karmani. Vachikani karmani. Manasani karmani. And these karmas these threefold karmas are there in Vaidika karma also these three are involved in Laukikam karma also these three are involved so the body is involved in performing a ritual Suppose I do not explain to you how the physical body is involved in performing a puja or in performing a ritual. How the speech is involved, I do not explain because mantra parayanam, mantra chanting, etc. Nothing but vachikam karma. Then of course, manasam karma, mind must be involved. If the attention of the mind is not placed in kayikam vachikam karma, then it becomes a mechanical action that is not considered as a discipline. In laukikam karma also, the body in physical activity, in oral activity, mind must be involved. Sometimes you have to think without involving body and speech. You yourself think and plan how to do, what to do, when to do, etc. There also mind is purely involved. In this way, these three types of karmas activities are there. And we do perform these three types of activities. When we perform these three types of activities, kayikam, vachikam, manasam, karma, or karmani, naturally these karmas should produce results. And what are those results? The results produced by these three types of karmas, activities are in the form of the entirety of the universe. So, kayika, vachika, manasa, karmanam, phalameva, jagadrupena asti. The universe is nothing but the result of these threefold activities. How? Let us understand here. Every individual needs upadhis to live in the world. Living one's life means being endowed with upadhis. We have gross physical body which is an abode of enjoyment. And we have subtle body, antahkaranam, internal instrument of enjoyment. And we have bahyakaranani, the instruments of knowledge, external instruments of knowledge. So, abode of enjoyment, the instruments of enjoyment, instruments of knowledge. And for all these to be functional, we need energy. Therefore, we have physiological functions. And for the physiology, for sustaining the physiological functions, we need activities. Again, we need subtle powers of organs of actions. So all this, stula sukshma sharire, these we can say technically karya karana sanghataha. Karya karana sanghataha means a body mind sense complex which forms the upadhihi. Upadhihi is said to be limiting adjunct, it is said to be a manifesting medium. Upadhiyate anena iti upadhihi. Why it is called upadhihi? Because upadhiyate anena iti upadhihi. That by which attributes are falsely transferred to something in its proximity. The physical body is an upadhi. Mind is an upadhi. The entire sthula sukshma, subtle and gross bodies, the body maintenance complex is a upadhi. The meaning of upadhi will explain. I'll explain again later on. But now understand the word, meaning of the word upadhi as a manifesting medium. So, bhoga sadhanam and bhoga sadhanam and bhoga ayatanam. Physical body bhoga ayatanam and rest of the instrument bhoga sadhanani. This body maintenance complex itself, which forms part of the objective universe, is also result of these threefold activities. How did we get this body? Why did we get this body? Why did we get this mind with its own peculiar problems? So this body maintenance complex, every individual gets because of the punya papam one has earned by performing this threefold karma. So, trivida karma phalameva, the threefold, the result of threefold activities alone is in the form of, enjoyed in the form of one's body maintenance complex. The parentage from where, from whom this body is formed, and then the body, how healthy it is, how strong it is, in what condition it is. So the health, the wellness, the strength, the capability of this body maintenance complex is determined by, again, the punya papam one has earned as a result of his threefold karma. Okay. This is the first phalam, the first benefit of, the result of threefold karma. Then second thing, it is not enough if we simply have got the bhoga ayatanam and bhoga sadhanani. we need bhogya vishayaha. So body, mind and complex are only abode of enjoyment and instruments of enjoyment. And the supportive system required for sustaining them. But we also need bhogya vishayaha, objects of enjoyment. So objects of enjoyment, enjoyable, perceptible, through the sense powers. And the purpose of being endowed with the sense organs is to enjoy the objects. The sense organs are meant to report to the mind the objects available. And it is only through sense organs mind can come in contact with the external world of objects. So enjoyment is possible. Therefore, the objects also must be there. Again, the type of objects we enjoy, whether we enjoy healthy objects, appropriate objects, relishable plus objects, good objects, what we enjoy, how much we enjoy, how we enjoy, what we enjoy the objects. So the objects enjoyable also, vishayaha, which form the part of objective universe, also are determined by the punya papam we have earned as a result of this threefold karma. So we can say, trividha karmani eva trividham palamapi utpadayanti. Trividha palam means the benefit in the form of, the result of actions in the form of the body, mind and complex, the upadis, and the result of threefold karma in the form of the objects of enjoyment. Sometimes some people may have very good, very healthy body, healthy sense organs, healthy mind, but objects, they may not be able to enjoy the nice objects. Sometimes the person may have all forms of objects, enjoyable objects, pleasures, but he may not have the healthy instruments, healthy body. And sometimes even if objects are available, one may not be prepared enough, subtle enough, sensitive enough to enjoy. Pujya Swamiji used to say, you know, with money, one can buy lots of books. Money can help a person buy the books. Money will not make a person read the books and understand the books. That needs different mental preparation. Like that, you know. Sometimes people may give donations to organize big musicians' programs, but they themselves may not have ear for music. So some big company donates, sponsors the program, and the company, the people of the company who sponsored the program may not even attend the program, but rasikas who enjoy the music are different. Means to enjoy nice music, one must have ear for music. To appreciate art, one must have that sensitivity to appreciate. To the good food, to relish good food. For everything, again, To have to derive the joy of enjoying healthy objects in healthy situations, healthy conditions, with the healthy body mind complex, one needs punyam. So what one enjoys, how one enjoys, how much one enjoys, also is dependent on the result produced by this threefold karma. Then, thirdly, even if a person has got very good healthy body, healthy mind, healthy instruments of enjoyment, and all the pleasant, good objects of enjoyment, the person has also, it's very important for a person to be placed in a conducive atmosphere to enjoy them. I can say one more thing. In keeping with the result of threefold karma alone, the loka changes. In keeping with the punyam, you have the loka where you enjoy the pleasures, maybe heaven. Then the body will be different. The object of enjoyment will be different. Loka also will be different. In Swarga Loka, you enjoy different objects with a different set of instruments. And in Bhuloka, you enjoy certain objects. Both, you enjoy both punyam and papam with certain, this human body mansions complex. So there's difference in loka. In keeping which loka, which sthanam, sthanapalam. In which sthanam, which object you enjoy with which instrument. That is also determined by the result of threefold karma. Even in this bhuloka itself, in this human world of, in this world of mortals itself, what you enjoy is enjoyable. You can enjoy it peacefully only if you are enjoying amidst others who are also able to enjoy certain things. If you alone have to enjoy and all this will be longing for what you are enjoying, they don't have anything. So, again, will make you feel restless. It will be very painful. You can't, it is not possible for one to enjoy pleasures peacefully amidst others who are suffering. If you have to enjoy all the good results, the enjoyable pleasures, because of your punyam, you must be able to enjoy it peacefully. To enjoy it peacefully, you must be amidst people who are not suffering. Even to have the sthana palam, where you enjoy the objects, pleasures, the sthana palam, how you enjoy, that's also determined by the result of threefold karma. That is why upadhi bhoga sadhanam bhoga ayatanam bhoga sadhanani, which constitute the body mind sense complex, the upadhi. This is earned as a result of threefold karma. Then bhogya vishayaha, the objects of enjoyment, also are earned as a result of threefold karma. And sthanam, the conducive place where one can peacefully enjoy this world, the life, also is determined by one's own, the result, as a result of threefold karma. Therefore, திஸ் காயிக்கம் வாச்சிக்கம் மானசம் கர்ம. காயிக்க வாச்சிக்க மானச கர்மாணி, திஸ் த்ரீஃபோல்ட் ஆக்டிவிட்டிஸ் அலோன் ப்ரொடியூஸ் த ரிசல்ட் இன் தி ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் த்ரீஃபோல்ட் திங்ஸ். போக சாதனம், போக ஆயத்தனம், போக்ய விஷயாக அண்ட் போகஸ்தானம். தீஸ் உபாதி, போக விஷயாக, போக்ய விஷயாக, போக ஆயத்தனம், போக சாதனானி, போக்ய விஷயாக அண்ட் போகஸ்தானம். ஆல் திஸ் டுகெதர் கான்ஸ்டியூட் தி என்டையர் ஆப்ஜெக்டிவ் மெட்டீரியல் யூனிவர்ஸ். In fact, the karma, the threefold karma which a person performs, that is possible because the person has got the body-mind complex. Because of the previous punyam, you got this body-mind complex and you perform karma. Again, you accumulate new punya papam, and as a result of which, again, you have jagat. In the form of upadhyaha, bhogya, vishayaha, and bhoga sthanam. We have to understand the connection here. Okay. Now, suppose Shastram says, if a person has got this very good upadhi, all perfect upadhis in perfect condition, and he also has the best of objects of enjoyment, the best of objects of pleasures, and if he has appropriate conducive sthanam also, and he enjoys everything appropriately, in the sense with healthy body maintenance complex and healthy environment, a person enjoys all pleasures a person enjoys. And if that person lives his life in conformity with dharma, with the proper attitude, performs everything as an offering to Bhagavan, and he also has samattam in his samattam, if he has this prasada buddhi also, if he accept everything that comes in life which is as with sameness of mind, as prasada, which means that if a person lives a life of karma yoga, then such a person alone is said to be having special capacity, a unique capacity to learn from his life's experiences. Apart from, okay, the person simply does not live. While living such a life, he simultaneously he is able to learn from his experiences. This is where Shrutihi, Veda Shastram, is said to be Shruti Mata. So Veda Shastram does not make a person reject everything. Veda Shastram supports, helps a human being to live his life, to fulfill all his desires, to enjoy the pleasures he wants in life. But Veda Shastram does not make him only indulge and immerse and get lost in that. Shruti Mata also helps this person simultaneously learn, understand, discover certain subtle facts, learn from his life's experiences. Pujya Swamiji used to say, this karma yoga is amazing. Definitely, the karma yoga is the way of life, non-improvably, very beautifully designed way of life, which makes a person intellectually sharp. Swamiji was very particular about stating this. Intellectual sharpness. It is not about a person's academic performances. Intellectual sharpness is something unique that a person should learn, to be able to learn from his experiences, from what he enjoys in life. Enjoyment is always for learning. Anubhavaha, okay, enjoyment. Bhogaha, anubhavaha. Experience and enjoyment is always for learning. Can you believe this? What? Enjoyment is not for just simply indulging and getting lost in it. Enjoyment is for learning. Experience is for learning. So Shruti helps us enjoy, helps us fulfill our desires. That's why Kayikam Karma, Vachikam Karma, Manasam Karma, all rituals are prescribed. Perform different rituals, invoke different devatas, respective devatas, chant different mantras, accomplish different ends. Do anything, any karma in conformity with dharma. Fulfill your desires through uprighteous means. Then what happens? You enjoy simultaneously, you must be able to learn. That learning capability is possible only for a person who strictly lives a life governed by dharma. Governed by dharma, intellectual sharpness. What does that person learn? The person understands the facts about the objects of enjoyment, objects of pleasures. He understands action. Activity performed is time-bound. The accessories required for performing the action are all time-bound. How can the result of action be everlasting? Result of action also must be time-bound. So any enjoyment, any object of enjoyment, any object of pleasure must be time-bound. And everything is subject to change. So time-bound, subject to change. This is the nature of all results of all actions in the form of objects of enjoyment, objects of pleasures. Therefore, even though they're enjoyable, still they are defective. All the objects of enjoyment within this material world have their own deficiencies, defects. And discovering these defects is what discovering the limitations of the objects, understanding the limitations of the objects. So he finds out that all the objects of enjoyment, objects of pleasures, involve pain. There is no such a thing called pleasure which is pain-free. Dukkha rahitam sukham is not possible at all. There is no such a thing called dukkha rahitam sukham. Pain-free pleasure is not possible at all. Is not there at all. So in enjoying any object of pleasure, definitely there's pain involved. Therefore, dukkha mishritam is the defect number one. Every object of pleasure is dukkha mishritam, mixed with pain. Any pleasure, any degree of pleasure a person enjoys is mixed with the pain. Dukkha mishritam is the deficiency number one. Because in earning, acquiring any object of enjoyment, there is strain, struggle, pain involved. Yasya kasyapi vastunaha sukhasya arjane dukkham asti. Arjane dukkham asti. Now, once you have earned it, acquired it, you can lose any time. Therefore, you make efforts to preserve it, maintain it. So in maintaining, in preserving any object of pleasure also, object of enjoyment, there is pain involved. So rakshane api yasya kasya vapi vastunaha bhoge bhoga sukhe. There is pain involved. So rakshane api dukkham asti. And because every object happens to be time bound in nature, every object of enjoyment happens to be subject to change, is definitely subject to get lost. Therefore, nashe dukkataram. In losing the object, there is greater pain. In losing the object of pleasure, object of enjoyment, there's greater pain. Therefore, sukham anubhoyamanam, the pleasure which is being experienced, enjoyed, enjoyable in this world, definitely is always mixed with the pain only. There is no such a thing called pleasure which is pain-free pleasure. Dukkha mishritam eva sarvam api sukham. Sukham here, I do not use in the sense of happiness. It is, I am using sense of pleasure. We all know very well, pleasure is happiness, but happiness is not pleasure. What we aspire for is happiness, actually. Happiness is fullness. Fullness is happiness. Pleasure is manifestation of fraction of fullness, which comes and goes. Happiness doesn't come and go. Therefore, here, this sukham, this pleasure, the object of pleasure, object of enjoyment, is mixed with the pain. Second, because of its nature of being time-bound and being subject to change, It can never, no object of pleasure, no object of enjoyment can bless one with absolute satisfaction. One may feel temporarily satisfied, but that satisfaction will go immediately, which means paripurna triptihi will never be there. Absolute satisfaction will not be there at all. The more we enjoy, the more desires we have, the more we want to have, the more we struggle, and more we achieve, the more we feel dissatisfied. Why? That is the nature, that is the swabhava of any object of enjoyment, object of pleasure. Because of its time-bound and changing nature. We can't change the nature of the objects. Every object is of the unchanging nature of being subject to change. Unchangeable nature. What is unchangeable is the change. Unchangeable nature is the change. Change is the unchangeable nature of the objects, material objects. Again, the time bound. That is why satisfaction is not possible through the enjoyment of anything. So, the person who enjoys more and who aspires for more, who accumulates more, may think, maybe relatively successful, but absolutely, in the books of Shastram, that such a person is not successful. Therefore, this is every object of enjoyment is atriptikaram, means dissatisfying. The third defect is the more we enjoy the objects of pleasures, objects of enjoyment, the more we become attached to them. Very natural. The more we become attached to them means the more we become dependent on them, the more we become enslaved by those objects. Being enslaved by the objects of pleasures, objects of enjoyment means being dependent on the enjoyment of pleasures and objects for our happiness and security. So being the more of enjoyment of pleasures is becoming more attached to the objects of enjoyment. The more becoming attached to the objects of enjoyment is becoming enslaved by them. And becoming enslaved by the objects is becoming dependent on them. Being dependent, becoming dependent on the objects of pleasures and enjoyment is being bound by them. Being independent of the objects, becoming independent of the objects for one's happiness and security is being free. Being dependent on them is being bound. So dependence is bondage. Therefore, any object of enjoyment, Every object of pleasure has this nature of enslaving, nature of binding. Therefore, the third defect is what? Bandhakam. Bandhakam. Sarvam api vastu sukham dukkha mishritam atriptikaram bandhakam. Bandhakam means that which binds. Atriptikaram, that which does not satisfy. Dukkha mishritam, that which is mixed with the pain. Okay, so being mixed with the pain not dissatisfying and binding is the nature of, or the nature, all these are the form the nature of the any nature of any and every object of enjoyment and object of pleasure. Therefore, now when a person lives strictly a life of karma yoga and enjoying everything best in the world, and because of his commitment to dharma, he is able to tap Bhagavan's grace. Because of the grace, he is able to learn and he is able to find these defects associated with these objects of enjoyment, object of pleasures. That is when the person wakes up, and that's when this what more he has viveka. Once he has viveka, naturally, when a person understands these defects of the objects, and he grows out of desire for these objects, because now his desire is not for time-bound things, not for constantly changing things. His desire is for everlasting happiness, not for time-bound pleasures. The desire is still there, but object of desire changes. He knows what he wants is only happiness. Therefore, now he wants to know what is that which is unchanging, what is that which is permanent, what is that which is timeless, what is that which is everlasting, which can be the source of everlasting happiness. Only for such a person, Shruti Mata, because this person is already in the fold of Shruti, then for him, the entire Karma Shastram becomes irrelevant. Karma Shastram becomes irrelevant only for such a person. And he is said to be emotionally, relatively mature person. We understood the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, how Vijanataha Brahmanasya Sarveshu Vedeshu Yavan Artha Sarvataha Sampluta Udake Tavan Eva Artha Vijanataha Brahmanasya Sarveshu Vedeshu. For a wise person who has discovered the very truth of the whole as one's own self, for such a jnani in whose vision what is, there's only Brahma, there's no second thing other than Brahma. For such a jnani, The entire Vedashastram becomes relevant. The entire Vedashastram is of as much use, of as much as the use of the water in a place of floods. The reservoir full of water. How much is the use? How much useful is a reservoir full of water in a place of floods? A reservoir full of water is not useful in a place where there are floods, where, you know, the place filled with water, everywhere floods. Sarvataha sampruta udake udapanaha yavanartha, it of no use. Similarly, vijanataha brahmanasya, for the wise person, a brahmana who has the vision of the shastra, vision of the truth, for him sarveshu vedeshu tavanevartha, all the Vedas become irrelevant for him only then. Similarly, here, this person who has viveka now, therefore who has vairagyam now, oh, this is the nature of all the objects of enjoyment, objects of pleasures. We can't help understanding these three defects of this object of enjoyment, object of pleasures, is understanding the limitations. Therefore, when he grows naturally, effortlessly, grows out of desire for these objects, he is said to have discovered dispassion. Dispassion is expression of one's maturity. Vairagyam, dispassion, is discovery of dispassion, is maturity, born of the understanding of the limitations. Then the karma shastram becomes irrelevant for him. Then Shruti Mata tells, okay child, don't worry, what you are searching for I have for you. Come on, Jnana, Moksha Shastram is there. Okay. Then Moksha Shastram, Vedanta Shastram. Here, now this person, as a Mukshu, as a Jignyasu, with his tremendous Shraddha in the Shastram, as the Pramana Grantaha. Because Vedanta Shastram, Veda Shastram, at the end, first brings to notice, brings to our notice, introduces this term Brahma. Brahma, there is Brahma. What is Brahma? Nakarantaha napumsakalingaha Brahma Shabdaha. Brahman iti Shabdaha. Napumsakalinga Shabdaha. The Brahma, the word is a Brahma. That word implies something inexplicable, something incomprehensible, something unobjectifiable, something imperceptible, something which cannot be described. That word implies, what is that inexplicable, imperceptible, indescribable, unobjectifiable? Inconceivable. What is that? That is the abstract, formless reality. And this word Brahma reveals the reality in terms of its nature, of limitlessness, infinitude. So that which is of the nature of infinitude, that which is of the nature of limitlessness, is inexplicable, inconceivable. And that reality is implied by the term Brahma. And there is Brahma. And one has to discover this Brahma. In discovering this Brahma, this Brahman is permanent. The Brahman is the only source of everlasting happiness, because Brahman is of the nature of fullness of happiness. Shastram introduces Brahma. Then Upanishad present elaborately discusses, helping us understand, arrive at the reality in terms of its nature. Finally, Upanishad is going to say that absolute reality, that ultimate truth implied by the term Brahma, which is of this nature, is you. You are that Brahma. Then Upanishad helps us just take ownership of that Brahman as one's own self. But it has yet to be discovered. Then, oh, I want to know that reality. Now, the desire for the objects of pleasures, objects of enjoyment, now becomes converted into the desire for discovering Brahma. Brahma jignyasa. Athato Brahma jignyasa. First of the Brahma Sutras. And immediately, how does the Upanishad introduce Brahma? How does the Upanishad introduce Brahma? Upanishad introduces Brahma first. Stating its swarupam in one sentence. In the second sentence, Upanishad introduces Brahman as the cause of the universe. In order to help us understand, arrive at what the Brahman is, Upanishad presents the Brahman as the cause of the universe. That's why second sutram of Brahma Sutra, second Brahma Sutram is Janmadhyasya Yataha. Janmadhyasya Yataha. Second Brahma Sutra. Very second sutram of. So Vyasa Bhagavan presents the second sutram is Janmadhyasya Yataha. Janmadi Asya Yataha. That's why in Srimad Bhagavatam, the first verse of Bhagavatam, the very first verse of Bhagavatam, which presents the essence of the entire Vedanta Shastram, also begins with the word Janmadhyasya. Here, Shankara Vyasacharya uses the term Brahman also. What is Brahma? The whole Bhagavatam presents elaborately this story. Elaborately. The very first verse. Janmadhyasya tonvayaditaratascharteshwabhignaswarat. Tene brahma hridaya adikavaye muhyanti yat surayah. తేజో వారి మృదాం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి సత్యం పరం ధీమహి జన్మాద్యస్య యతో. ది సెకండ్ సూత్రం బ్రహ్మసూత్రం ఫార్మ్ ది ఫస్ట్ వర్డ్ ఆఫ్ ది ఫస్ట్ వర్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం. దిస్ ఆల్సో వ్యాసాచార్యస్ వర్క్. వాట్ ఈస్ బ్రహ్మ? బ్రహ్మన్ ఈస్ దాట్ ఫ్రమ్ విచ్ దిస్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ విచ్ ది ఒరిజినేషన్ సస్టెనెన్స్ రెజల్యూషన్ ఆఫ్ ది యూనివర్స్ ఇస్ పాసిబుల్. దాట్ ఫ్రమ్ విచ్ ది యూనివర్స్ కమ్స్ ఇన్ టు మేనిఫెస్టేషన్, that by which the universe is sustained, that in which the universe resolves is Brahma. This is how the absolute reality is introduced. Then, oh, there is Brahma. Because of our unflinching faith in the Shastram, Upanishad, Shruti Mata, whom can we rely on if we do not rely on Shruti? Who else in the world, what else in the world can protect us other than Shruti Mata? None. None, the biological mother cannot be replaced by anybody else in the world. Nobody can replace mother. And next to our biological mother, we have next mother, only mother is Shruti. Vedamata, Shruti Mata. So here, the Shruti tells this. Then, because of my faith, Shraddha, Shraddhavan Labhate Jnanam, because the Shraddha in the Shruti, I have no problem, we accept. Then, the desire to know as a jignasu, when a person sees himself to be jignasu, that is when he is known as pramata. Pramata, the knower. Pramata is the knower, and for him, what is to be known, prameyam, is Brahma. The absolute reality. What is that which is to be known is Brahma, Prameyam. Here, this individual is a Pramata. And for Pramata, to know the Prameyam, the object of what is to be known, he needs a Pramanam, the means of knowledge. And here, Upanishad is the Pramanam. Upanishad is the Pramanam. The individual is the Pramata. What is to be discovered, what is to be known is Prameyam. When he operates his Pramanam, and what happens is, what rises, not nothing happens, what rises is Prama. Prama or Pramitihi. Pramitihi is a ikaranta stilinga shabda. Prama is akaranta stilinga shabda. Prama or pramitihi means knowledge. Prameyam, object to be known. It is Brahma. Pramanam, the means of knowledge. Pramata, subject of knowledge. Pramanam, means of knowledge. Pramitihi, prama, knowledge. Prameyam, object of knowledge. Now, what is the pramanam here? Of course, Shastram is the pramanam. Shastram is not only Pramanam, we have many other Pramanams. Not for knowing Brahma, but for knowing anything and everything in the world. we have different pramanams. To know Brahman, we have the only pramanam, which is Shastram. Shastram is nothing but words, many words. Shastram is in the form of Shabdaha. Words, Shabda Pramanam. So we have Pratyaksha Pramanam, which is the means of direct perception. We use our sense organs to have the knowledge of objects through direct perception, Pratyaksha Pramanam, perception. Sometimes we use Anumana Pramanam, Anumanam. Anumanam means inference. So inferential knowledge gained through the data based on perception. It's inference. Anumana Pramanam. Then we have Arthapatti Pramanam. Arthapattihi means presumption or assumption. Arthapattihi is very close to Anumana Pramanam. I see only the shoes of somebody at the doorstep. Seeing the shoes at the doorstep, I make out the arrival of the guest in the house. I do not know who the guest is, whether the guest is inside or not. But as you suddenly I see my own house, I go out, I come back, I see some new shoes. Oh, somebody must have come. So my perception of shoes becomes means of inference for the arrival of the guest, the newly arrived guest. Anumana Pramanam. But Arthapatti Pramanam, here, the present incident, any given present incident, may help me assume, presume the past incident. This is Arthapatti Pramanam. In the morning, early morning, I go out. There's a mango tree in our house. And then I see a lot of leaves fallen. The mango fruits also. And then the fruits, ripe ones, fallen on the ground. Then this incident has happened. That, I presume, there must have been heavy wind. Wind must have blown that leaves and fruits have fallen. This is Arthapatti. I assume, I presume. This is Arthapatti Pramanam. Then we have Upamana Pramanam. Upamanam. Upamanam is comparison. We understand certain things through comparison. By comparing one thing with the other, we understand things. Upamana Pramanam. And we have Anupalabdhi Pramanam. Upalabdhi means cognition. Upalabdhi also means availability. Anupalabdhi, non-availability, non-cognition. Anupalabdhi means absence. Non-existence, non-presence, absence. Even absence serves as a means of knowledge. Anupalabdhihi. To have the knowledge of something being not there, absence, so is a means of knowledge. So, anupalabdhihi. Then we have shabda pramanam. Shabda means words. Words also serve as pramanam. All these pramanams, pratyaksha pramanam, anumana pramanam, arthapatti pramanam, upamana pramanam, anupalabdhi pramanam, shabda pramanam, the six fold means of knowledge. Shat pramanani, all these pramanas are all only for understanding, knowing anything and everything other than the truth, other than the reality. All these sixfold means of knowledge are for knowing the mithya as though real world of material objects, objects which constitute the objective universe. But these do not serve as means of knowledge of the truth. And here comes the question. If words also cannot reveal the truth, how can we say Veda Shastram, consisting of words, serve as means of knowledge? Yes, Veda Shastram consists only of words. But still, Vaidika Shabdaha, words of Veda Shastram, do serve as means of knowledge. Katham, how? We'll see tomorrow. Okay? This is all very, very, very basic kindergarten introduction to Upanishads. I have not read anything new today. Just basic preparation to enter into the proper text. Okay? Tomorrow also we'll have some little more introduction topic. Then we will continue. Okay? So see you all tomorrow.